Gordon?
We both wearing General Banter merchandise right now.
Sink it up. That's okay, bro. It's okay.
What the fuck's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter podcast. I have a guest today. It's not Mickey Bartlett, so there won't be any in-depth chat. Well, I don't know where it's going to go.
It won't be funny.
No, I was going to say, it won't be more like you just talking about your fucking bowel movements. It might, though.
I might have to go make a bowel movement in the middle of this.
That would be that's fine.
Can you just pause or just talk to them whenever I go on?
No, you just go shit. I don't stop for anything.
Do you have a bum gun?
No.
No good.
If anyone has listened to this podcast before, you may have heard about me going to Vietnam with Maureen, and the person that we stayed with both times was Sean. If I ever refer to someone as our man in Vietnam, it's Sean.
It's I.
So this is a bit like when you bring on your interesting friend. It's not Mickey Barley going, guess what else is leaking on me? Guess what else is fucking bleeding? You're the exotic one now. What's the reception like when you go home? Because I don't want to give away your exact location, but it's...
Braca.
Which is... Those people just crawled out of the lake, out of the lock, and just fucking just formed another thumb and just...
Did I tell you about being slagged last week for saying good afternoon?
Yeah. That's so this country though, isn't it? So
there was a football match, went down to watch a bit of football in Braca, and at halftime walked across to speak to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And was just like walking past a load of people who I knew, I can't even remember some of their names, but it's just people from around, and they'll go, well, Sean, they go, well, about you, how are you?
Yeah.
What's going on? All right. So then by the end of it, I couldn't be bothered with it, and I just said to a few people who I knew pretty well, who knew that I'm a dickhead with words anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, good afternoon. And like 10 people just... I didn't even say... I just said, good afternoon. And like 10 people just like, oh, listen to him. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What are you... Are you in your foreign chat?
Notions.
I love this country because, you know, like, if we do Lavery's Comedy Club, like, there were people sitting there just looking like a pile of shit. And then there's one dude who obviously worked somewhere, came from something, and he's wearing like a nice crisp shirt and maybe like a waistcoat. And everyone's like, look at this fucking... You fucking loser.
Who's he think he is?
I know, and he's like, oh, sorry, I did that. Like, Mickey had a go at this guy, and then Kieran Bartlett had a go at this guy, and I went up and went, I can't believe that those two bags of fucking discharge were making fun of you because you brushed your hair and put on a shirt.
Two big pussy boiled.
Yeah. All Kieran did was fucking throw a fucking mop down the side of his ball bag before he left the house. That's it. And Mickey's fucking like, what Mickey said to me, the most disgusting thing I ever heard was, he goes, I had a onesie on that he got for Christmas or something. He goes, I had to take it off and turn it inside down because there was crisps in the thing. There was fucking so much debris in the fucking foot bit of it that he had to take it off. For fuck's sake. That is
half unbelievable. Of his Christmas dinner down it.
Dirty cunt.
Bit of ham.
So you're going back to Vietnam tomorrow? Tonight?
Going to London tonight.
You having a wee night to yourself in London?
A wee night to myself in London.
Are you in the hotel airport or did you get another place?
I'm in my dad's place.
Oh, your dad's place?
Oh, he's not there.
Oh, fuck.
The key's under the something. Don't know what it's under. The key's somewhere. Under the
something. Coke party?
Aye. And then flying to Bangkok tomorrow night. And then on to Ho Chi Minh. Back in time for the Tyrone match.
Yeah.
Which I will not watch.
It's so funny because like you that fucking what's the team called? The Saigon,
the Gaelic team, or the soccer team, the Saigon Gaels.
Oh, is it?
Aye.
Is there not like a Swans or something?
That's the Aussie Rules team.
The Saigon Swans.
Well, Vietnam Swans.
Vietnam Swans.
Nationwide team. I've represented Vietnam in Australian rules football before.
Just for the free top, I did.
Aye.
Did you get a free top?
Aye. Got a load of shit.
So there's,
wasn't free,
there's the Vietnam Swans. that's a gay.
Swannies, mate.
The Swannies?
Fucking cats.
I would definitely pick teams based on what the names were. You know, if I was like an American football player or something?
Aye. But the Sydney Swans are a big AFL team.
Okay.
So named after them.
Oh, man.
But yeah, again, why did they say Swans? It's like you could pick any animal.
Yeah.
And you're going to pick...
Sydney Sharks or something?
You're going to pick a bit of a bitch of an animal that gets drunk.
There's a Rugby Sharks, isn't there? Somewhere
that's Western Cape,
is it
South Africa? because the Noah guy played underage for them.
Jesus Christ.
And then he snapped his neck.
Oh.
All right. He used to live in Vietnam. He's completely fine.
Oh, yeah.
He used to live in Vietnam. He's one of the fellas that we did the Hanoi to Ho Chi Minh bike trip with. And he was, I think he was a number 9. He was taken into the Sharks Academy.
Right.
When he was...
The
Sharks Academy, yeah. Like the development squad when he was about 18.
Yeah.
And he just got crushed in a ruck or something.
Yeah.
And snapped his neck.
That happens.
And somehow lived. But he had to stay on a bed for whatever amount of time, months, I think. And they basically attached weights to the back of his head and slung them off the back of the bed to extend the vertebrae.
Like traction?
And basically, yeah, traction just to put his neck back in the right place.
I feel like I need that now. Just,
oh, yeah.
Just from fucking doing some kettlebells this morning.
Have you ever been to like a chiropractor or anybody who uses them machines, like the traction on your back?
No, I would love to.
Fucking feels them. They just really lying back start. And the bottom of it just drops out a bit.
I've been to physios and stuff, but you know, like a lot of physios around here, unless you're like a real specialist, you know, it's like, you know, like your granny's fucking twisted her knee and the guy all he needs to do is like Google it and be like, here's what you need to do. Just get some resistance bands and work up that muscle, right? You know, it's very fucking basic.
Yeah.
You feel like you want to go into someone and be like, this is a very specific part of my back that I need you to know what that fucking muscle
that
or nerve is.
Does.
Yeah. Because I fucked it.
I've had it explained like to me by chiropractors, but I suspect they're talking a bit of shite.
Vietnamese chiropractors?
No, no, no.
Pulling your deck at the same time?
No, no. They're international. So. Foreigners.
Your back's very tight. Oh, jeez.
Happy ending? Happy ending.
I talked about this in the last podcast. Do it at the start.
100%.
Happy start, then rub the neck.
Here's the
thing.
I'm not
sitting here the whole time with a boner.
Maybe it's just an Irish thing, but guilt is a part of everything.
Oh,
so
yeah,
like
for sure.
The minute you blow your load, you feel either incredibly satisfied or like a wee bit disgusted with yourself.
Nah, I've never felt that. I've never had the disgust.
Never had the disgust?
I feel, is that might be a Catholic thing, is it?
Catholic thing, yeah.
See, I was brought up
Jesus.
Borderline nearly close to some Protestants. Aye. Like nothing in my household. But everyone was just blasting loads everywhere.
I was near Protestants too, but we didn't talk to them.
Guilt free.
But I think the idea is you're going to finish off this massage with something mind-blowing. Just begin with that and then give me a massage to get over the shame.
Yeah, and the whole time, maybe, I don't know, I've never been for a hand job in Vietnam, but is...
What about that one I gave you?
I know, but, you know, what's in a handy between two friends? But the fucking, you know, if... I'm sure you know people who just fucking flat out go for them, like.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you go to...
Especially at the start, because there's a novelty. It's like, we've just arrived, and that's a thing to do.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
String some snake wine and get my dick pulled.
Mm. Yeah. Did I tell you about eating snake ones?
No.
It was a very... It wasn't...
Is that a euphemism for one of these massages?
Because it's not one of those things that you can just easily do. You can't just walk into any fucking restaurant and get snake.
I'm sure.
It's pretty illegal. It's pretty underhand. But I was driving home one night and I went past a bar that I would sometimes be out with a few of my friends. A lad from Meath, actually. And
shout out to Meath.
Tim from New Jersey, who
met
before in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they were sitting at the bar and sort of waved me in. And it was like a Monday night or something. I was like, what are you doing? Like, we're going to eat some snake. And they had spoken to the bar owner who knew a guy who would show up.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Do you want to join
us?"
And
I was
like, "Yeah." He's like, "You need a snake? I know a fella." And then fucking Vin or whatever his name is shows up on the back of a bike with a potato sack, snake sack, whatever you want it to be. And I was just like, "I don't want to be a part of this, but I'm here now.
Yeah,
I have to fucking see this happen."
Oh, my phone's
so
out.
We
oh
went
my God.
Upstairs in the pub. I didn't even know there was an upstairs. It's this like little furtive room, and the guy. It was weird. Like the snake was alive, and he like basically like. Opened the sack and then it came out like raised its head and then he like whacked it.
But
have you ever noticed like people don't use knives in Vietnam that often? They use scissors, even for like cutting up your pork chops, whatever, it's scissors. So he just like whacked it on the head and it kind of dazed it and then he just grabbed it and
pair of scissors.
Aye. And then
Jesus Christ.
Rolled it up like just like a tube of toothpaste. Because he poured his whole rice wine shots and just went
and all the blood came out.
All the blood came out and you do a shot of it. And then Alan.
Did you do a shot of snake blood?
Aye.
What does that taste like? Regular blood?
Tastes like rice wine, which tastes like vodka.
Yeah.
And a bit of blood in it. Kind of shit. And then he went and made us like three dishes. A snake salad, a snake curry. And it was all shite. Don't bother your ass eating snake.
Depends on snake. Like I always wonder like how big was the snake? Was it like a fucking cobra or something? Or was it like...
It was about them.
Yeah.
It was a big lump of a snake, like, and was quite thick.
It's actually not quite.
Quite girthy.
Yeah, it must have been a python of some sort.
Aye. I, like, I the imagine. Fella couldn't speak much English, so he couldn't tell us.
Trying to fucking scam you in Vietnam.
We couldn't speak much
that's,
Vietnamese.
That's a lizard with no feet. You've choked it. It's not a fucking snake at all. Is that the weirdest thing you've eaten over there?
Possibly. I haven't eaten dog. If that's a question you're going to send in, I haven't eaten dog.
I don't get doggy vibes when I was in Vietnam. No one's going to eat dogs like that, really. The food's too good to be like, do you know what's also good?
There's
dog.
If anybody listening is interested in like good food and travel journalism, there's a story called The Dog Thief Killings, which is a guy I vaguely know wrote it, and it won a couple of awards for like food journalism, and it's all about the dog meat trade in Vietnam. It's fucking exceptional. It's a long form piece. It's like, you'll be 45 minutes reading it, but it does happen. But there's a good quotation in it, or a good bit from it, that says something like, nobody admits to doing it. It's kind of like porn. Like, it's done. It's like sex shops, they're there, but nobody just openly walks in. So you'll see like dog restaurants around, but nobody's there, and like they are late at night. It's just kind of one of those things that you think it's sometimes, because else any Vietnamese people that I speak to, like, would you eat a dog? They're like, nah.
Yeah,
but
it's weird.
Somebody's eating dog, and nobody's saying they're doing it. It's kind of rare. I mean, it's definitely more common in the north where I don't live. So
it's kind of like, is it super tasty, you know? Or is it like really cheap, or what the fuck is going on? Because apparently it can't be good. Not. It can't be as good as like any other type of meat, like chicken or fucking pork or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually tasty. I've heard it tastes kind of shit. It tastes a bit like dog smells. That's what I've heard of it. And they're also cooking it in fish sauce, which also smells like dogs.
It smells like dogs.
But I think there's an old wives' tale of like the benefits of it. Like,
oh, really?
I think it's a good for
a pile of shit as well.
Bollocks, like.
If there was anything that, but then, you know.
But it's mostly men eat it. Women don't bother eating it much. They'll prepare the dog.
Yeah.
And then the men eat it.
It just seems like a bit much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To be eating dog when there's fucking, like, Vietnamese food, some of the nicest food in the world, and it's just like,
yeah, why bother with the dog?
Oh, I've got all this lovely shit. Also, here's a fucking chihuahua that I've fucked on a grill.
Yeah, and the biggest part of it is that the dogs that they're using are pets.
Yeah, that's
They're stealing people's pets. I've watched a lot of videos of them just like grabbing them, like they yoink the thing onto its neck and just fucking drag it. And like, I've been on the highway like before
that,
driving behind
that beautiful illustration I just looked at there.
Where is it? Yes, yeah, exactly like that. Just like a lasso, kind of. And then they'll all come armed, like your fellow there's got a, what do you call that yoga?
Catapult.
Game? Catapult. It's pretty bad, like, and like it's the risks that people are taking for the guts of $20 or whatever. It's not a rich man's game, like.
Unless you're stealing like a fucking, what's an expensive dog? Like a blue French bulldog or something?
Yeah.
Couple of grand?
Yeah.
Huskies? I feel like the bigger the dog.
You see the dogs that are around Vietnam, like they're mangy as fuck.
Oh, they're disgusting.
Unless they're the new pets, and then they're quite nice.
There is such a thing as like, that dog's Asian as fuck, you know?
Got the curly tail.
Yeah, you just don't see those dogs over here at all.
Dogs in Asia have curly tails, even like a Labrador. They have like a pigtail almost.
Yeah, a pig fucked one time, and that's what happened.
Took a turn for the darkness there very early on.
We tried to cook. Well, I tried to cook. I talked about this already, but like Vietnamese, what's the fucking term? The pork chops.
It's the most. The dish we made was gum soon up la.
It's like fucking. So that's what rice and a pork chop.
Rice and a pork chop and an egg.
That's fucking like.
It doesn't sound like much, but it's fucking exceptional.
It really doesn't. It's like saying like, you know, if you're like, I'm going around to someone's house for beef, potato, and carrot.
Yeah.
That's how basic it sounds, but then you go around and someone's made you like a steak and roast. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like the each bit like is fucking delish.
It's just in my view, it's the perfect meal.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Did you show it? Have you showed any footage of it yet, or have you?
Nah,
I videoed it also. It was all shit.
It was a disaster.
I can't video for fuck all.
No, it wasn't the video quality. It was just a fucking shit show. Me trying to fucking cook it. Because what happened was I had to go down and get the giant barbecue. Come up. Prepped all the food with all the ingredients, which took forever, put them in bags, sealed it, marinated all the pork, all that shit. And then Maureen came back from somewhere and was like, did you not light the fire yet? And I went, nah, sure, it only takes 2 minutes. And she's like, nope, charcoal fire takes fucking about 2 hours.
And I disappeared for 2 minutes and came back and Maureen was standing like the fucking Lord of Light with flames emitting from
her. Just looking at shit and it's bursting into flames. She might be the devil, but then we cooked it. And then it tasted like, I've talked about this last week on the podcast called The Fish Sauce Boss.
I listened to a bit of it, actually.
But I was like, what you're doing to it is in no way how it comes out. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're putting like fish sauce and shit like that on, and then you barbecue it, and it's like a totally other thing. It's a totally different thing then.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense with it.
It doesn't make sense how that smells and looks compared to how it comes out.
The taste of fish sauce, because you say fish sauce, especially to people like us Westerners, and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, because it's fish sauce, but the taste of it, especially when you put a bit of chili and like sugary things in, it's just exceptionally good.
It's like,
but the smell of it's fucking rotten.
Yeah, it stinks. I don't know. Like,
but you cook pretty much every decent Vietnamese meal is cooked in it. But that meal we cooked is like, that's not something you'd cook for somebody if they came to your house. That's soul food. There's a good story behind it. It was like, so the did you talk about this already? Like, it's broken rice.
Broken rice,
it's just slightly different. So it's like, cum tam, cum is broken, tam, I guess, makes broken rice. But it's like the farmers in the Mekong Delta in the south of Vietnam, give you a very brief history lesson, that obviously farm rice.
It's about time someone fucking heard something decent on this podcast.
Working on the rice farms and whatever, like the little broken off bits of the stock, they couldn't sell them. Yeah. So they had a choice to either feed them to the pigs or whatever, or eat it themselves, which they did both, I suppose. But yeah, they just ate it themselves and they'd eat it with whatever they had lying around. So it's proper poor people farmer food. So it's good soul food. It follows that same story of like any good soul food coming from the poor people making its way into cities. But they eat it with like pork skin and bits of veg or whatever. And then over time, it made its way into Saigon. It's not a dish you'd get in Hanoi, for example. Or you wouldn't get it much in Hanoi.
It
made its way
into
Saigon and they're like, let's put a big lump of a pork chop with that.
Unreal.
And then if you want to go extra decadent, fuck on a fried egg.
Fuck a fried egg on it.
Every meal should come with a fried egg option.
Without a doubt. There was that. That it's like pork, the rice, the pork chop, the egg, and then there's a side of like sweet fish sauce with chilies in it, and you just dump the whole thing over and eat it. But we were in Thailand in whatever hotel we were in the first night we got there. We got like room service, and I was like, oh shit, look at that. It just said pork fried rice. And it came fried rice, pork. It was fucking delicious. Fried egg on it. And like me and Maureen have just had nothing but fucking fried eggs forever. Is that even recording? Why did that die? Oh well, we've got fucking audio. Who gives a shit?
Oh, there it is.
Well, it's ticking over now. Don't know why that fucking died, but sure. That'll be the patchiest video of all time. The audio's still rolling.
I just
rolling.
Break technology when I come.
The audio's still rolling.
Should we roll back like 10 minutes?
No, fuck it. This is a bonus podcast. People can deal with the audio.
This is for the Patreon people only.
For the Patreon people. Yeah, I've got some cool ideas for the Patreon coming up.
What do you reckon? What am I going to get from a $5 a month? A
lot of secret content on a secret Instagram.
Sweet.
Which I will secretly tell everyone soon.
Take pics of me.
Yeah.
Mickey Bartlett's new spots or whatever, whatever he comes
spots.
Up with.
Spots.
You wish it was just spots.
Mickey's at the Fringe now, isn't he?
Yeah, he was texting.
Shout out to Mickey. Hope you're doing fucking well, mate.
I was texting him at 7 o'clock this morning. I was like, Mickey, what the fuck are you doing up?
And yeah.
He's like, this is me now. Turn over a new leaf. Probably been up all night.
But how could you be like going out drinking every night if you're doing the Fringe? It's like two shows a day, right?
Fuck, I did it. It's because the day is so long. By the time you get up and do all that shit and flyer and gig about, go home, try and nap for a second, then flyer a bit more, and then your show. The morning where you were hungover seemed like it was forever ago, 3 days ago, and then you're out of your show and you're full of adrenaline. And you're like, all right, let's get a drink or some. In my case, there was always somebody about that, you know, like Begley come over, an Aaron come over. There was, everyone was just there, so there was always somebody to fucking
go for a drink with,
or you had to go and speak to someone or.
Maybe that's like why you get so many, like, well, I always think culture men, but it could be anybody, like hard working men who drink like fuck. It's just because they get up, get on with it, and then at 5 o'clock, 6 a.m. is forever ago, and they're like, I should go for another one now. It's not like they're laying in bed all day, waking up with the horrors and going to the pub to kill it.
Yeah, exactly. They're working it off nearly, and then fucking. And I even the wee pubs right here, like you go in, you're like, I could come in here at any stage, and that fella's. In here, I come in any night, and he'll be there
having his couple of pints after dinner.
There's ones in that pub like they come in that it, you know, like they'll drink bottles of stout, unchilled, so it'll just be on the shelf, and they have their own glass and everything. They take out their own fucking, like it doesn't look like a glass you would get in a bar. It's all floral and shit, and the guy pouring his fucking bottle of Guinness into it.
There's a word for that, like, of another era. There's a really good word. But it's like, yeah, that idea if you're fella at the bar stool drinking a bottle of Guinness is 80s as fuck, 70s as fuck.
Now,
we were given bottles of Guinness recently in Saigon.
You were what?
Like a pub owner, a woman who runs a bar that me and my mate Connolly go to. She was like, do you fancy this? And they got bottles of Guinness.
Class.
Not that good.
Not great, no, it's not.
Not great at all.
It's not.
Nothing on a pint.
I mean, it's like, yeah, you got to be deep in the fucking stout game to be like, give me that room temperature, sticky, foamless fucking
travel
water.
Across a half of the world in a bottle, like,
yeah,
probably made in 1994.
Yeah, but I just find these. I mean, it is quite fun to drink that shit, like. But yeah, if compared to like a big creamy pint, you're like, this is horse shit.
Beep beep beep.
This is horse.
Yeah, whereas like a pint of stout is just. We had some of the fucking sweetest stout in the world in Killarney last week.
Mm.
We got word of a fella who we knew from Vietnam. I knew he was from Kerry, I didn't know he lived in Killarney. But small world, was talking to a fucking cafe owner or something. And then she was asking us all about herself because she had been to Australia or something. And we gave her like the long story short, Vietnam, South Africa, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, did you know there's a fella from Vietnam in here earlier? I said, bet you know him. It's like, Paul. I said, Murphy. Oh, fuck. Shout out to Paul Murphy. And then we met him at like 5 o'clock for a quiet drink and it finished up at sprinting home at 1 a.m. Don't know why we were sprinting.
Sprinting?
Yeah. Jesus, we just decided Christ. We wanted to run really fast. That's... And there was a pizza involved that none of us remember eating.
I would sprint for a pizza.
But he took us to like a couple of the real good bars in Killarney.
Yeah.
Sort of the ones that not everybody knows about. Or they probably do know all about. I don't have a fucking clue. But, you know, going into like the, what do you call the wee... The schnuck, you know, the booth kind of
snug type
the snug,
thing.
The schnug, but just some of the fucking most delicious pints I've ever had. You know, like 4 pints is enough pints, maybe 5 at a push. Yeah. But then you get good ones, and it's like, yeah, keep them coming. Like, you mind years ago? It was actually just before I left for Vietnam. There was a massive party down at Maureen's house, and they had a keg, which was the distance.
Oh yeah, like, you got the line has to be like less than a meter long, and you get the best pints of all time.
12 pints of Guinness that night, which for a man my size is not fucking good news.
Like, shot your way back to Vietnam?
Yeah, I left for Vietnam the week after. I still had the horrors.
Jesus
Christ. This is like a week of a hangover.
That's the way to do it, though. You get the fucking, get that short line. There was a bar in Glasgow, I was probably telling you this, but the fucking, you go out the back of the smoking area and you can see the lines all come out of the wall and go the whole way across the fucking building and back in. So the keg room must be like, miles away from the pump.
In the next town over.
So like, your pint is just lying in that stinking line, exposed to the sun and everything. Fucking gross. Just, let me just blow out the plug first.
Have to go change the key. Give me the keys of the car.
When do you want it now? Fuck. See you in a minute.
Made the order. Is that for pickup?
How many Irish people are there in Vietnam?
More than you'd think.
Loads. I just remember
Irish people everywhere.
You took us to that pool party thing, which I don't know if we were like, fuck me, Sean, some fucking knife over here. I don't know how often you were going to those. Probably
pool parties.
Probably
they were on weekly, but I never went to them. Like, there's something about a load of people in the same place having a great time that I fucking hate.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Like, it's a.
So I never went.
I just remember getting there and getting in this fucking pool. And I mean, that is, if I could pinpoint a moment where I got sick and remained sick the whole rest of the trip, it was without a doubt that pool.
When somebody pissed in your beer?
Well, yeah. Think about how many bare assholes there are in that pool. And I was going in with 2 tins of Heineken, like, yeah, boy! Yeah. And then you would take a sip, and then you would take another sip, and the tin was heavier than it was a minute ago. And you're like, oh, fuck, that's definitely
pool. How many liters of chlorine did I just drink?
Yeah, so...
which you'd think would clean you out.
Well, it fucking certainly did, sir.
Cleaned me out, hey.
But I just remember this dude coming fucking... just in a sea of like tanned bodies and some Vietnamese people and, you know, people from all over the world and just this
asses and pecs.
Just asses and pecs and fucking people getting tattoos on that V that goes down to your dick. You're like, show off. This white, like, fucking earthworm Jim comes flopping across the fucking pool and he's just like, are you from Ireland? I was like, what gave it away? Huh? The fucking Arctic tan over here? Fucking hell. And then obviously, like, people like that are friendly and then they talk too long and they're like, I didn't come here to speak to Irish
people. Don't want
to
hang out with you anymore.
Fuck off, will you?
There were a fair amount of Irish people when I first got there, but not a huge amount. And now it's insane how many there are. And it's all like mostly 26 and under. So I just spat in you.
Cheers.
It's mostly 26 and under. So it's ones weirdly from Kerry. Kerry and Limerick. They've just gone, fuck this place.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing for them because there's so much. Your woman in Killarney was actually telling me there's, it's such a tourist town that they haven't done anything for themselves in ages. So the ones are just like graduating going, there's fuck all for me here. And they're heading away to teach English for a year. Mm-hmm. Like they're all mostly teaching English.
Fuck.
Which is, I do it too. Way to get by, hey.
Way to get by, teaching them. Well, who do you teach, Koreans?
I teach Koreans how to speak American in Vietnam. Yeah. Used to teach Vietnamese how to speak.
Sean walks in, hey guys!
Space rocket!
Actually, fucking, speaking of hey guys, I left this open for you. Would you hear this? It's hilarious.
Oh, offensive to shout out to a group of people, hey guys. Some people are starting to request that they're not called hey guys or collectively in that form. How do we feel about
this? It's supposed
this?
To be sexist because it comes from men. Well, I mean, I think that's, again, you really need to get a hobby of this bothers you. I refer to a group of guys, a group of men and women, and a group of women. My mates, if it's a bunch of girls, I'll be saying, hey guys, should we do this? It's an Americanism.
Yeah, to be honest, it does. And I think it's similar, but not the same as saying Ms. instead of Mrs. That's not my title. Person? And I know people.
Well, and I totally get weird.
Are you fucking Jared there with a fucking wake up? Is that a transfer? I honestly thought. But do you know who Kane to me is?
She looks like somebody from Tyrone.
Probably. Oh yeah, it's the fucking teeth. Give it away. But like, have you seen Kane to me? Do you know who that is?
Yeah. The fellow who does the.
He does like an impression of his like pretend girlfriend. He's like Emily.
That's and everybody loves him. If anybody's going to get accused of mass sexism, should be him.
Yeah, but this is the.
Well, discussing this morning.
She sounds exactly like that fucking.
It's an Americanism.
Yeah, to be honest, it does, and I think it's similar, but not the
Emily. Fucking bitch.
Same as saying Ms. instead of Mrs.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not my title.
There are, sir. There is. I mean.
I know people.
You can definitely have Irish teeth, can't you?
Aye, 100%.
I'm getting away with the top ones, but the bottom ones look like smashed up limpet shells.
100% of Irish teeth. I at least have one Irish tooth. <That
one. laughs> The Blarney tooth.
I won't get knocked out and night up in a yarn. Playing football for Braga.
We were discussing this morning. We both do it. We go, guys, can I get...
hit in the face with a steel soda.
something on camera for, can we move this up or whatever? But I totally get it. And whenever I meet someone who's trans or straight or gay or whatever, I'll always ask, especially when I meet a trans person, do you like she? Do you like he?
Oh, absolutely. Then, like, I would always do that.
And I just think it's fair to obviously sit there and go, if you don't like that, that's fine. I wouldn't
That's being respectful. But again, I'm not a Mrs., I'm a Ms. But again, I don't lose sleep.
Let me blow this whole thing wide open. Probably won't. This whole conversation, and it's a worthwhile conversation, but this whole thing, it's only going on, well, certainly from our perspective, it's only going on in the English language.
Without a doubt.
So they're taking universal truths and applying it to one language. That doesn't make sense. So with something like pronouns or titles or anything like that, they work differently. And so Vietnamese is a perfect example. The pronoun that you have is, I refer to you differently than what, if you had an older brother, would refer to you. Like I would call you An. That's your, that yeah, means like it's big brother.
There's so many fucking divisions.
But you call me M, which is wee brother, and, or wee sister, it could be either. But then somebody else would give me a different title. So your title or your pronoun there is given to you by the person that's talking to you. So it's what you are to them.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it's like you choose your own and you have to expect everybody else to know.
Not only to know, to guess. To guess right first time or I'm going to fucking come down on you like a ton of bricks.
But it's one of those things where you get worked up about it a lot and you go, this is fucking ridiculous. And then if you just like speak to anybody from that world or any world that's not your own, you'll sort it out in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
If you speak to them face to face, if you keep othering people.
Yeah, and you got to, and grouping them together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just generalizing like a massive group. I remember doing a fucking, I mean, we had very mixed experiences, but like Dave Elliott did some referred to Caitlyn Jenner in some bit, and before he got through it, I don't even think it was about Caitlyn Jenner, it was more about him and having a child. I don't know what the fucking bit was about. Someone's like, transphobic.
Yeah, but it's like,
and it was a that it was a trans person. Exactly. You're like, get the end of the fucking joke. Yeah. You dickless fucking. I'm joking. But and they, but then this, I did a Caitlyn Jenner bit, and someone come up to me in the pavilion, and they were like, first of all, looked like Triple H was about foot of like about a foot taller than me. I went, I'm a trans person. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And I went, do you know what? I don't even like that you get to tell me that.
Mm.
I know you're a trans person, but it's also like, hey, it's Caitlyn Jenner. It's a very hot topic at the minute.
Yeah.
He's a cunt, and I'll say whatever the fuck I want about it. Dick or no dick.
But it's like, whenever I was very small and didn't know any better, if there'd be like Irish jokes made in, like, say, American TV shows, I'd be like, you bastards. And now it's like, who gives a fuck?
Nah,
like, no, really, nobody's marginalizing you.
But I honestly think, like, political correctness and politeness, even to a certain extent, is like very Western.
Asian racism is fucking rife.
Inter-Asian racism. Yeah. Even like, you know, I've had people fucking just. Remember the guy just took a photo of me when we were sitting eating somewhere? And he's just like, ha ha ha. Like, obviously, just like, look at the fucking size of this big fat white cunt.
Yeah. And like, recently I saw like something on Facebook. Somebody was having a somebody was talking about, you know, being objectified, which is a problem. Being
like
stared
a girl.
At.
Aye. Yeah.
Being stared at too much is a problem. It's fucking invasive. Like, if somebody you don't know stares at you for a second too long, it's very uncomfortable.
Drives me nuts.
And they were talking about how, like, it's... You just swallow that pen.
Yeah,
they were talking about how, like, just how it's not on. And then there was a comment from somebody who also lived in Vietnam saying something like, I know, like, I was just in the airport with some fella staring me down. It's not fair that we have to put up with this. And it was two girls, like, leftist feminists, having this conversation. And I was like, fair enough. I get the same thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
I get stared at too. Now, I get what their problem is, that, like, there's more... Well, they maybe think... Maybe that fella's stronger than me or something.
Yeah, there's like a threat there because it's sexual. Like, it's sexual, and the guy could, 9 times out of 10, is more scary and powerful.
Well, that was like, I rarely take like the uber lefty side of things unless somebody's not there, and then I do. It's just anything to sort of cause a bit of controversy. But somebody was complaining recently. I don't remember what it was. Probably like a conversation over a load of beers, and they were saying like how. You can't even fucking talk to a girl anymore. That sort of thing. And I was like, you can. Like, you're just saying all this. It's like, nobody wants to
talk
to you.
Just the way you said that has let me know that girls don't want to speak to you.
They just don't want to talk to you.
It was like Mickey's joke, where he's like, I can't get the fucking ride in Australia for love or money.
I don't know why this fella had a Belfast accent. He's probably from fucking London or somewhere. But basically saying, like, you can't look at a girl, you can't do this. And it's like, just have a fucking conversation with one and you'll find out that it's okay. Like, don't be a dick. But the point that I was sort of trying to make to him is like, but he was saying, but if girls stare at me, and he's a good looking enough chap, he's like, if girls stare at me, I'm fine with it. And I was like, okay, but you probably don't feel endangered. But I was like, how do you feel and I don't mean this in a, like, even a gay fella staring at you, but if a fella stares at you for too long, is that different to a girl staring at you?
In a threatening way. Yeah, because you're like, what's going on here?
Even in like a lustful way, there's a bit, because you're just like, oh fuck, I've never been stared at like that before.
Yeah.
And you're like, this could become physical.
Yeah.
And then that's a game changer, and you're like, okay, don't be a creep. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah, staring at everybody's fucking weird. Yeah. Like, I mean, it drives me fucking nuts when people like stare at Maureen. And especially when, you know, when you're looking at someone, you're like, you're such a wee fucking insignificant piece of shit. And especially if I'm walking with her or something, I'm like, you still have the fucking nerve. There was like, we were in what do you call it, Greystones, where that happy pair thing was. We're walking along and had sunglasses on, and this guy just literally with a mouthful of food, just like, and he just stared at Maureen like that. And he was sitting, there was like, you know, outside a bar, sometimes they'll have chairs and tables and then almost like a plexiglass fucking screen to sort of divide it from the street. And I literally, like, you know, like bent around and like looked at him as I walked past. I was just like, what are you doing? I almost feel like you're almost like, you don't get the stare like that.
I did start like, say calling out, but just like mentioning it to people. It would happen a lot. It happened to Lindsay all the fucking time because she's big, tall, blonde.
Yeah.
She's fucking nearly 6 foot tall with not a small chest. So that stands out in Vietnam, you know? And people will just be staring at it. It's just come to the point. I actually saw my old fella do it at an airport in Vietnam where some boy was staring at him. He just goes, you all right there, boy?
I've done a lot of that.
Do the same thing now. I was like, you all right? And then it's just kind of a... Because you probably do it yourself too without noticing if some like very good looking woman walks
past. I'm stealth as fuck, bro.
And you're just like, you're not even paying attention. And all of a sudden you realize, I'm just staring at her tits.
Yeah.
Like, it's something like that. Maybe they don't even know what they're doing. Yeah. Because men are the worst, like.
Yeah, you're definitely like hardwired to just fucking be like, oh, look at this.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean? But
so probably, I was saying to you last week about those fellas in Belfast and Kelly Sellers. Well, me and Lindsay and Lucy were there, and the four of them were wrote off, and they were just like, as soon as the two girls sat down, completely ignored me, and they're just like, oh, the fucking blonde black haired girl there.
Jesus Christ.
And they sort of looked at me, but they were so drunk, all I was just like a shadow of a form that'll get in the way. And it was my round, and I stood up, and I was like, I'll get this round, but I will be gone 10 seconds, and you won't be on your own. I just knew that they were going to make their move. Stood up and just walked, and I don't even think they knew they were doing it. It was just like all four of them just like rose from the grave. It was like, and then just planted themselves.
Yeah.
But it's like just sometimes it is just hardwired into men to be fucking creeps.
Totally. But it's like, you should have a bit of awareness when not to fucking switch that on. Or, you know what I mean? It's a bit like,
yeah. I think some people in general just don't have any shame.
No, not at all. It's definitely a fucking stupidity thing. Like,
but it happens.
There's a direct fucking correlation between how intelligent you are and how much of a fucking mouth breathe. Just like, just fucking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just fucking.
It happens on both sides of the gender divide. Where you're like, how can you be this stupid? I had a very, very strange and frightening sort of experience at the Mandela gig, actually. Yeah. Not your one. Maybe your one. Might have been the gig you were doing, or the Friday one. I can't remember which. Must have been the Friday one, because there were a lot more people there who were a lot more blocked.
Yeah.
And I
don't know about the block bit, but
it was one of those moments where you go, oh, for fuck's sake, like, there's so many worthy causes in the world. There's so many moments of guys being fucking creeps to girls and needing to be caught. And this girl was wrote off at the bar, and she tried to like call me out.
Call you
like,
out?
Aye. And I was just
for
like,
doing what?
Oh, fuck me.
And you were just jizzing on her back, and I was like,
that's all I was doing. Like, just came on her toes. Like, fucking did nothing. Like, but no, it was actually, the bar was crowded as fuck, but there was a gap.
Did she have not exactly a small chest? I'm gonna be saying that all the time. I tell you what, she didn't have exactly what I would call a small chest.
I can't even remember, but she was blocked for a start.
Yeah.
She was wrote off, and sometimes people, girls, definitely, when they're blocked, they get a bit too much sort of brashness about them.
Oh, like, yeah, they think they could fight a man, basically. Yeah, what I mean? Yeah.
Aye. And like, but anyway, I went for like the space bar where there was no
fucking take that.
Fucking have that, you hear you. But I went to the bar, and I went to the part of the bar where nobody was at, and she came up to like the other wee bit of the gap, and I could see that she was wrote off and was like bouncing into people, and I was just like, I want to stay well clear of her. I don't want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't want to, and like it's probably universities, I think, are like now strongholds of like the modern
100%. Yeah.
So, and it wasn't even that, I graduated what, like fucking 6 years ago, like it wasn't that long ago, that wasn't quite so strict. But anyway, like she was sort of bumping into people and everything, and she kind of looked over my direction and then looked back, and I was like, I don't want to do any of this. And like then she like slid across and bumped into me, and I was like, oh, sorry. And then she went back, and I don't know if she was just looking for a row or whatever, but then she kind of did it again, sort of gave me that look to say, who the fuck are you?
Oh yeah.
But it was like she was going after it and like abusing the fact that she could get me in trouble, and I was like, I'm just standing here ordering a drink.
That drives me
fucking nuts.
And then
she said, I can't remember her words, but it was something that made me want to throw up. It was along the lines of, I could get you arrested, or I could get you in a lot of trouble, or get the shit kicked out of you, whatever. And I was like, I haven't done anything. But, you know, she's not a representation of that side of the argument at all, because she was wrote off and was clearly just a fucking cunt.
But people are fucking insane. I don't like when people abuse the fact that the law protects them. That drives me nuts. Because there's a lot of fucking... There's a lot of things where you see, like, there's a girl fucking squaring up to someone, like, ah, you fucking touch me or whatever. And you're like, you are protected by the law after whatever is about to happen happens. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know, like this guy might go to jail, but you also might get your fucking head punched in and be in a coma.
Well, it's a,
that drives me fucking nuts.
It's a big part of how to behave, and I don't mean this in like an ultimate fucking titan kind of way, but a big part of how to behave in society is you might get punched in the face if you're a dick.
Yeah, act like there's no rules. Aye. But then it's happened to me a few times where, you know, you walk, it happened the other week, walking down fucking past your Georg, and somebody goes, "Boy, you fat fucking wanker," or something. And you're like, right, very you know, it's funny, whatever, we're all having a laugh here. You should act accordingly, because I'm thrice your weight, and we'll fucking throw you at a wall till your brain is porridge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And I might get prosecuted, but you might be eating through a fucking straw.
It's like, I get you arrested.
I get you arrested? Not when you're fucking paralyzed.
You won't be okay enough to enjoy it, like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that fucking clay money will do you well. When there's a fucking home help feeding you. Oh, it drives me fucking... And, or like, it happened to me a couple of weeks ago when we went to the Remore in Portrush. And this fucking woman, I bought a bunch of buns in a box to take to my granny's house. I'm walking down the wee sort of, there's like a, almost like a little thin corridor to get out of this place. This woman leans over, sets something on the reception desk, and just walks out immediately, crushing the box of things against the wall.
Mm.
And then she turns around to me, like, and then walked a couple of steps and then turned around and looked at me again. And
how
I was like,
dare you?
What are you looking at me for? I said sorry, and you fucking smashed this thing, and you're looking at me like I just shat in your dinner. Do you know what I mean? Have a bit of fucking... We both hit each other. Well, actually, you hit me, but, you know, I'm trying not to fucking throw these buns at your face. Yeah, I'll count.
He'll tramp you.
He'll tramp. Let me...
He'll tramp.
We'll look at these videos real quick, and then people send questions.
We need to talk about fights, too.
Does this guy... Yeah, hold on. Does this guy sound like...
We came here to stay in touch.
Oh, fuck yourself. Does this guy sound like he's kind of doing the Lord's Prayer, but he's talking about space?
As President Trump has said, in his words, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space. And so we will. Just as in the past, when we created the Air Force, establishing the Space Force is an idea whose time has come. The space environment has fundamentally changed in the last generation.
Yeah.
What was once peaceful and uncontested is now crowded and adversarial. Today, other nations are seeking to disrupt our space-based systems and challenge American supremacy in space as never before.
This is the
and our administration will soon take action to implement these recommendations with the objective of establishing the United States...
I can just see the movies that they're going to reenact this with, like, an actor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where he's saying this...
Steve Martin.
Ridiculous shit.
But it's the way he's speaking sounds like, if you take all of the words away, it's like the
our
wee...
Our Father, who art in heaven.
The wee bit after communion, where everybody sort of has a wee mental break, and then the priest talks about something that's going on. I don't know, I haven't been a fucking mass in ages. God forgive me.
A space war. Great!
Dominance.
And also this is happening. Steven Seagal, as a representative, tasked to improve US-Russia relations.
Well, if anybody can do it.
According to Facebook statement...
He's legitimate though, right? Like, he'd knock your bollocks in.
No.
No, he's not legit. Isn't he like, what is he, Wing Chun or something like that?
Aikido.
Aikido.
You know, it's like, all you need... Like, there was a fucking Joe Rogan podcast where... let me see. He had an Aikido guy on. He's like, no, I promise you, like... Is that how you spell it?
Dio.
Dio. Aikido's a dog, isn't it?
Sounds
it's like Aikido versus...
Aikido.
And he was talking to Joe Rogan. He's like, no, listen, I'm trained enough that if it doesn't matter who you come at me, I would just not be there. And he goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, I just wouldn't be there if the guy went to hit me or something. You know, just I've trained in this sort of
teleportation,
transition of energy and stuff that I can just like, I can deflect the energy and I'll just not be there when he goes to hit you. And Joe Rogan's like, take any fucking high school wrestler, we'll take down the best Aikido guy and fucking punch his head in.
Mm.
And then he goes, pull that up, actually. And he just fucking threw it over. The guy looks it up and there's like, yeah, like a fucking, like a wrestler. It was like MMA versus Aikido. And he goes, and he just took him straight down, beat the fuck out of him. And he goes, yep, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen.
That's all you do. I saw this thing this morning. It was a BJJ guy and a Vietnamese guy that I follow on Instagram or Facebook or something. He's actually the security guard at the sports club.
Right.
But he took up jiu-jitsu and he's getting fucking good at it.
Oh,
he's like the great white hope. But I think he's still like maybe a blue belt or something. But he's only a young lad. But he put up this video, was like a tutorial of doing a single leg. Yeah. And I was like, the guy was saying like, make sure and drive your legs forward and you will complete the single leg. And as he's saying it in the background, the guy who's getting taken down must be like a high school wrestler or something, or he must have been. So the guy's like running at him, shoulder in, and just drives his feet. And the guy who's getting taken down just fucking lifts him, just fucks him right over his shoulder.
There's a bunch of wrestlers at like SBG, and there's a guy, Scott, who's actually like a catch wrestling guy from England.
Mm.
He lives here, like, but that cunt is rough.
Wrestling savage. How could you like, not have a fucked up back from the amount of things they just...
fucked up knees in the ring, but this cunt, like, there's a lot of jiu-jitsu guys and they get good technique, but jiu-jitsu, good people... People are good at jiu-jitsu. It's very slick.
Mm.
You know, it's like fucking... And there's a bit of pressure and you can't move all of a sudden. And then,
Brian Ortega. And then how did that happen?
He leaves you a bit of room and you move and then you're snapped into another thing. The wrestling is like you feel every fucking inch of it. It's like bang, shoulder. He does this like... I think it's called a heart attack or something.
Mm.
It's almost like he gets you and then he fucking leave a bit of space and then he fucking... And this is if he's on top of you, like poof, bring it back down. So you're going like, oh my... And then... All this weight, and it's just so much pressure, and you're in the fucking shower after it, and you're like, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, my whole nose is like bloodshot, like a fucking hickey, just because it was completely sideways a minute ago.
It's just one of those sports where like...
rough as shit.
In any of it, the combat sports, surely that's the one that's the most effective, not necessarily the most effective, but the most hard to fucking live with if you're like an intensely gifted or intensely talented wrestler.
It's
a fucking nightmare.
How many champions in like the UFC were big wrestlers? Like DC?
He's changed though. Like, I mean, there was that where like all the champions were wrestlers, and then there's always these trends of different people coming through or changing up. Like boxers are number one. Well, they're selling the most anyway. But DC's very good with his hands now, at least. Like he's a very good boxer now.
Oh, he is, but like...
But he's still a ragdoll and motherfucker. He's such a hero. Fucking love
him. I love him, and I don't know why anyone hates him, like, but... Everyone, it's just I've always liked him too because he's the most unassuming fucking fighter.
He's so unlucky that he fought in the same era as the most gifted fighter to ever do it. Like nobody is close to John Jones in terms of talent.
I know, and it's weird because it's like
he's scary good. Like
everything just works. Like his build,
yeah,
and everything. Like it just it's like a fucking praying mantis was like 6'5" or something.
DC was winning that fight easily the last time out. He was outboxing him, stepping in, and then he
kicked him in the face. Like.
Yeah. I also love DC because he's got like teeth missing, big belly. You know, he doesn't look like a two-weight world champion. And he's probably the most dangerous fighter on the planet.
That's why I love him.
Apart from John Jones.
Daniel Cormier takedown highlight.
Is he 6 feet tall, even?
No, he's like 5'10 or something.
And he's a fucking heavyweight. Enough, because I'm still going to beat you.
There he is, Don Henderson, good wrestler. Picks him up like a fucking...
But you see the way he picks people up? He doesn't bust his back doing it. He's got such brilliant technique.
Well, that's where it helps being built like a fucking dustbin. Like, he's fucking... He's so stocky and round.
Yeah.
I mean, I've rolled with people in jiu-jitsu even that are that build.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't get in on them.
Yeah, there's no gaps.
You know,
yeah, how would you take that
when you're on top of
down?
Them? It's like being on a fucking exercise ball. You just can't fucking get at them, basically, and then they can grab you and throw you about.
Well, wasn't he's only ever been taken down by John Jones as well?
Probably. Yeah. Look at that, Bigfoot Silva on your hole.
Brilliant.
Straight away.
What a fucking nightmare it would be to
like
fight
he's
him.
He's just kicking him all over
people.
In fairness, he does look better when he fights at light heavyweight. He looks trim, like, but
yeah. But he's killing himself now to make that weight.
There he is, fucking Roy Nelson, two fat bastards. I just look like two fat dudes that just fucking met at a bar. They're like, I'll fight you outside, bitch. Like,
actually, that's some of the highest level of fighting there is. Fuck, DC's a hero.
Look at that, just fucking... And that's the thing, you're talking about the wrestler doing the single leg. I'm pretty sure you don't drive through a single leg anyway.
Yeah, so it was bad advice then.
Yeah, you... A single leg.
It might have been a double leg. It could have been a double leg.
A single leg's more of a turn. We see he's about to do like.
We trip on a turn.
Well, you would need to trip Roy Nelson, I'm sure. Like, but you can put enough pressure on people's knees and all these. Like, look at that, just raping them. Like it's like fucking. Just can't get them off.
Did you see the fights last week? Have you many fight fans that listen, or are we born the fuck?
Yeah, there's plenty. Anybody? There's plenty.
Did you see any of the last weekend stuff?
The fucking
DJ and
Mighty Mouse.
Just four amazing fighters.
I seen highlights, just I didn't really watch the fights.
Yeah, I watched like some highlights.
Did, you, so I don't know did why your guy Cejudo look like he just fucking was like relentless? It was just like one of those fights where it's like, no one's gonna knock the other one out, so I'm just gonna work really hard and it's gonna look like I won.
Yeah. But all the best highlights were Mighty Mouse just doing insane things to get out of bother. Like, he's so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane how good he is. But, yeah, he just... It was one of the best sort of losing performances you'd ever see.
Well, they're just two fucking... Just wee mad Jack Russells just going at it.
So, Hudo's an interesting one because he was a pure wrestler.
Yeah.
Until about four fights ago, and he must have just seen, like, a fucking video reel of Gunnar Nelson or somebody who's just like, I'm going to lean back. And
gonna,
sort of go kind of karate
I'm
style.
I'm going to be karate boy here.
Yeah. And he was really fucking good at it.
Well, that's kind of, if you can pull it off, the safest way to strike in MMA, because even Muay Thai and stuff, you have to be engaged.
Yeah.
You see people like...
Muay Thai looks outdated already, but those, like, say, like, the likes of Cowboy, well, he does more...
Bit more traditional, but if you watch, like, what's his name, Dillashaw... Because his coach is like fucking, what do you call him, Dwayne Ludwig, and it's like all that striking, you know, like where they fucking jump sideways before they throw a leg kick, so the head's not there anymore. Like, it's so fucking, sometimes it doesn't even look normal the way he fucking moves, kicks, slides away, moves back, punches, moves his head, but it's like, it's just not being there.
Dillashaw is so good that he makes it look easy. Like, you can't watch it unless you sort of know a bit about what you're watching. I don't even, but you know, unless you can really appreciate brilliant MMA, you just watch or someone like Dillashaw and take it for granted. And you're like, no, he's so fucking high level. He's so high level that he's knocked out Garbrandt twice. Garbrandt's a massive shame because that, when he went into the Dominic Cruz fight, I wanted him to get busted because he was such an asshole.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't think he was anywhere near ready to fight Dominic Cruz. And he put on probably the best performance I've ever seen. One of them.
Well,
he
I think
completely
it was. I
outclassed
think it was just
him.
You know, like, I feel like
Cruz maybe took him for granted.
Yeah, Cruz is like, he's one of those like speed footwork guys, and Dillashaw is like a fucking heavy-handed, just wrestle boxer. But
then even Garbrandt's very unlucky because he had Dillashaw beat. Like, he had him basically knocked out, and if there was three more seconds on the clock, the fight was over. And then he went out second round, got completely fucking dusted, and then went out again the other week and get knocked out, and that's him. I'm not saying he's done, but that's his day in the sun, probably kind of over for a few years anyway.
Yeah, you gotta win about four more fights in a row here to build yourself back up.
It's a real shame because his title winning performance was fucking immaculate, and then Dillashaw is just so good at everything that he makes it all look easy.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, when you lose twice, like, it's kind of like
But you can't come back. Aldo came back the other week and knocked the fuck out of Jeremy Stephens.
I know. I actually seen a clip of McGregor just running on the street, and someone's like, what do you think of Aldo? And he goes, I'm delighted for him. Yeah. I'm fucking very happy for his team, all that shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the fuck. Do you watch that fight, like, live or whatever?
Stephens?
That Aldo knockout, the McGregor Aldo.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the fucking...
insane.
I can remember, like, just I was, you know, just up all night fucking moistening my eyeballs with fucking just a wee bowl of water, so fucking tired.
I was fresh out of bed,
and then that fight was just like dink, and I went, oh my god,
is that it
really?
Be fair, at least there was a good card before it, if I remember. Wasn't it McDonald and Lawler before it? I can't remember. It was a long time ago. McDonald and Lawler might have been before the Mendez fight.
Did you ever see the photo of me and Roy McDonald?
Aye.
Yeah,
he's fucking incredible.
Oh, he's fucking brilliant. I don't know why he's not in the UFC.
That whole thing with, like, Jose Aldo, we're gonna have to talk about Conor McGregor for a bit, but he's the best example of, like, post-truth. Like, what I mean is, nobody takes Aldo seriously anymore. People completely disregard Eddie Alvarez because it's like, oh, he knocked the fuck out of him. Like, he made them look... He didn't even have a war with them. He just fucked them up. And they're like, oh, he...
executed them, but just like...
Yeah, because there's so many, like, sort of casual-ish fans. So they go, ah, that boy was nothing. So if he goes around... Like, say this Khabib fight, won't be a battle, most likely. It'll be either McGregor slips, knocks him out a few times, probably does some lovely jiu-jitsu to get out of trouble, or Khabib does what Khabib does and just grinds him down. And both ones are going to go, well, of course. That's the thing what I mean about McGregor. When no matter the result, you go, oh, well, of course. It makes total sense. Is that a question for us?
I'm just trying to...
So prediction. Every time I see Khabib fight, I go, McGregor kill him. And every rest period, I go, McGregor's fucked.
Yeah, but there's been a few fights where Khabib was fighting. Like, is a guy called Michael Johnson?
He got rocked by Michael Johnson.
Yeah, but he got hit a lot when he was on his feet. And you're like,
yeah.
McGregor doesn't really do that, even multiple shot thing. He'll hit you fucking once and it'll...
It's just one of them where, like, you think... See, like, when he fought, was it Daryl Horcher or the other guy, Abel Trujillo? He had, like, a record-breaking amount of takedowns. It was, like, 25 takedowns or something in a fight. And I was like, holy shit. But I was thinking, how many times did your man get up?
Like, exactly, loads. Like, a really, really fucking, you know, like, Damian Maia.
Mm.
He takes you down once and you don't fucking get up. Like. Well,
Khabib's not, like, a finisher, or he's not even... He's complete forward pressure. But then even... Those statistics are kind of warped because do you see him fighting Barboza?
Yeah.
Barboza got up a lot of times, but he was up for a half a second. And then it's just trip you and you're back on the floor. It's relentless, just exhausting work. But if McGregor can... It looks like he's training flat out in jiu-jitsu. So I think they've said... Dylan Danis is back with him and all. So it looks like they've probably said, we're not going to be able to wrestle him much, but let's make sure we've got some sweet jiu-jitsu to get out of a bit of bother.
Yeah.
And then, like, McGregor's clinch is excellent, so if it goes against the fence, he might be okay.
I just don't think he wants him fucking anywhere near him. You see, the problem is, like, if he can survive, the bell goes and they stand up and he fucking takes a few breaths. Yeah. It's exhausting to take people down.
Yeah.
More so than it is to be taken down.
And McGregor's a big lad.
Yeah, so...
And he'll come in there heavy, I reckon.
Here was my theory. See, do you ever watch a highlight of Owen Roddy?
Back in the day.
Did you ever see it?
Was it Relentless Owen Roddy they called him? Or...
Fuck knows.
I can't remember. I've watched his videos though.
But he was a fucking savage with knees.
And I
was thinking to myself, if he does a lot of sessions with fucking Roddy, just blasting knees in the clinch and just fucking waits for that takedown.
Yeah.
And just starts fucking...
But the thing, like...
Kneeing people to death.
So many predictions.
Like, we see many of these end in fucking... terrible music.
And his nose was always completely busted, Roddy.
Yeah. Right, let me see. Well, this is Roddy just on people's backs fucking punching the shit out of them. Knees are fucking overlooked a bit, I think. Like,
horrendous.
Especially, see, if you're a taller guy, you know, like a fucking John Jones knees you.
Yeah.
And it's like a goddamn... Look at that. Well, see that? He just fucking kneed him on the way down. I think McGregor should look a lot into that shit too. Just like, if the guy's going to shoot, make him pay for it. Like.
But there's also like the tactic that he used against Mendes, because he didn't train any wrestling pre-Mendes. His knee was bollocked.
Yeah.
He didn't know that he was fighting Mendes, but I think... I actually just finished reading Win or Learn the other day, so it's all pretty fresh in my mind. But... they made sure once the opposition change was made, it's like, you're going to be on your back. They accepted they were going to get taken down. And the plan was be dangerous as fuck. So you remember, I think it's in the second round when McGregor looked like he was in trouble against Mendes and he just started fucking raining down elbows on top of the head. It's like, be dangerous as fuck and make sure he keeps his distance. Don't get overwhelmed. And then you've got a chance. But even like,
there's guys like way back, Tony Ferguson or... taking them down is no advantage. Like,
yeah, it was way back there in McGregor when he fought in Cage Warriors. He knocked somebody out with elbows on the fence.
Yeah,
so the guy was driving the shoulder in, and he was just like,
dink,
just dink, 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 until the guy just, and the guy couldn't give up the position. He was like, he was like, I need to stay here, and he wouldn't accept that he was fucked, and he just got completely done. But going back to that whole, like, it all makes sense once it's done with McGregor. All the predictions for Alvarez was Alvarez is going to try to wear him down. Like, Alvarez was fucking brilliant. He also was a champion at a kind of a low ebb of lightweight.
Yeah.
But he was very good. But he was a bad matchup for McGregor. Bad enough in the sense that he had a crazy cardio, decent boxer, good wrestler.
Yeah.
you don't know what somebody's going to be like until they stand opposite McGregor. All of a sudden, Alvarez is like, oh.
Because it's, do you know what it's like?
They never fight like themselves.
It's like someone, McGregor's like, someone's going like, there's a fucking blank check at the bottom of that, you know, thing. And it's a fucking food processor. And you're like, it's not on, but it is going to come on. And I'm going to see if I can quickly fucking grab it.
They very quickly get scared.
When he stands up and he's just, and he does that thing where it's like, go. Like, you go.
He welcomes them.
And you know that I'm so fucking quick and powerful that it's just like, go, see if you can do it. And if you watch that Alvarez fight, he gets hit about 3 or 4 times. Then he's scared. Then he's like, and then he's really fucking telegraphing it. And then that finishing combo when he goes to move and it's just like ting, 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 ting. Like a fucking machine. Just
every part of that fight, you're looking at Alvarez going, why are you doing that? Why are you doing the one thing that you shouldn't do? And it's because they just seem to get a bit rattled and scared. So a big part of this Khabib fight
I think it's just
who's going to take the first backward step.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, were you surprised by his power? And he goes, it was speed. He goes, I just fucking...
You're hit before
he was like, I was on my arse. And I was like, I don't even know what happened there. But that's what's scary. So I think when McGregor is like, you know, like physically a good build because he can move up and down. He's quite tall, but he's not skinny. So he's big as fuck. He's not like a guy.
He also makes himself very, very big.
And he's standing way up, and it's just like, it's amazing. All where he's just like, go ahead, and you fucking, you know, he looks at your feet, and you see him load up a punch, and before you fucking bring it back here, just you know, like he did it to Diaz a bunch. When every time Diaz flinched, he would commit. It was almost like he was going to throw a jab, and as his body moved before his hand got out, McGregor hit him.
Yeah.
And he dropped him about 3 times. So you could see him, like, he would go, like, see him pattern. He would go to move and just, and he, Diaz would just fall over.
They just don't see it coming.
Like, he would just hit him because he just knew he was so slow compared to him. Like. But again, he's just such a big fucking lump, Diaz, compared to him anyway.
Excited to see him fight again.
Me too.
That'll be a good fight. I think he's the best boxer to watch in the UFC.
Well, yeah,
watching him throw hands
is so floaty, like him and the two Diaz brothers. It's just like, bing, 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 bing.
There's that. It's just one of the sexiest combos I've ever seen is the one where he rocked McGregor with, which was hard to watch because, you know, it was Conor McGregor getting knocked the fuck out. But he caught him with that one too, that put McGregor on ice. And then he went and finished him after that. But it was, you know, people I think of maybe of a sort of a shady memory of that fight where they think McGregor fucked a takedown up and got bait on the ground. He was bait before it.
No,
he got stung with that one too, but it was one of the most beautiful ones I've ever seen.
So that's where, that's why McGregor was always calling everyone like a panic wrestler. Like when they start, look how big Diaz is. Like when he's start panicking.
So large. Yeah.
When they start panicking, they shoot.
Yeah.
And that's basically what McGregor did. So that's why he took so much shit for it, because he was like tired and hurt and went for a takedown.
He was overextending on everything.
It'd have been better just running, you know what I mean?
But he spoke after the second fight about how intimidating Diaz is, because he moves his body so quickly, his head's out there, and then all of a sudden he's on your shoulder. Like but the one too that Diaz caught him with, it's so offbeat. It's not like a standard bam bam. I think he had his right on McGregor's chin, and just as he was pulling away, the left was already coming behind it.
Like McGregor, he threw two punches in one go. Yeah.
And McGregor didn't see it coming. Like he went to move his head back into it and just stepped into the punch. It was fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
I think he's going to fuck Poirier up. Poirier is very good at the minute. And that's the other thing. All of these people who are fighting at the minute have lost to McGregor.
Exactly.
Holloway, Aldo.
I saw a very funny meme, and it was like, McGregor's knocked out all of
anybody
the lineup, right? And it was Poirier, Alvarez, Aldo, and Jeremy Stephens. And he hasn't fought him, but it was just him, you know, in the press conference. And he was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Look at him getting all tired there.
But that goes to show, like, actually Chael Sonnen was talking about the other day, it goes to show just how good McGregor is or was, because maybe they did try to give him an easy ride to the top, Chael Sonnen was saying, but it didn't work out that way, because Holloway ended up being a fucking beast, you know?
Yeah.
Poirier ended up being a top contender, like some really good fighters. Saying that...
No, he's made people who were like, you know, this guy's the fucking, you know...
Yeah, and all of those people think are shouting.
He just completely took them out, like... You know, it wasn't like, he just didn't even let them fight.
Yeah.
Like the Aldo one, you didn't see a fight.
Yeah, so his opponents never looked like themselves.
That's the other scary thing.
I don't think Khabib won't give a fuck though. He'll probably bring his best game.
They've got that fucking old school Gracie jiu-jitsu where it's just like, listen, it's going to be a triangle or a choke, and I've done it 50 million times.
You see, even the way he throws that right hand, it's not like a punch, he's flinging it. He's just like flinging these big long arms.
Well, that's what got him dropped so many times in the second fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
he's too wide.
It's like he moves, then that, you know, it's like that there. So they shouldn't have been fucking fighting anyway. Look at the size difference.
That one there, like it just came right up behind.
That was beautiful. Threw two in a row there. Just think,
Aldo does that a lot too. Aldo actually caught McGregor with that when he got knocked out. He threw the right and followed up with the left. And it just happened that McGregor was quicker to the punch and dropped him. And that's what Aldo did against Stevens too the other day. He threw a right and followed it immediately, pretty much at the same time with the left, to Stevens' liver.
Yep.
And fucking dropped him.
Well, that's...
That must be embarrassing.
Aldo's like hooks and... Like, what's that combo called where it's like a left hook, right leg kick?
Like
it's in the same movement.
Mm.
Scary cunt.
Aldo's a beast.
Aldo for sure. Shave your moustache. Look at that choke. See that? See, that's just so fucking...
You're not getting away from that.
Textbook, like.
Just... I'm looking forward, and it's a shame that it was cancelled there. I'm very much looking forward to Ortega and Holloway. I think Ortega's going to beat him. He's scary good. And he's fucking massive. He's about twice my size and he's a featherweight. And I'm like 70-something
kilograms. 70 kilograms, bro.
Heavy as fuck. Well, put it this way. Like, if I was just to walk into an octagon and I'm not big, and just like somebody said, you have to fight, I'd be a welterweight. It's like, there's Tyron Woodley and Darren Till to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how much these guys are cutting.
Yeah, it is scary. Like a fucking Luke Rockhold walked in here.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's a middleweight.
Yeah.
You're like, who, this fucking 6'3" giant?
All you have to be is like 12 and a half stone or something to be a middleweight. Fucking questions?
Scary. I will do some questions here. Did you go on... When's the McGregor fight? 6th October?
October sometime.
Damn, see.
October, yeah.
Did you go on any internal flights there? If yes, do you think your personal space will ever get back to normal? I had a Vietnamese Rod Stewart lookalike clutching a plastic box of eggs surrounded by rice for his hand luggage as far up my arse in the queue. I can still feel his breath on my neck. That was 2 years ago.
Who'd you fly with? Probably Vietjet. To be honest, Ryanair is worse.
Yeah, probably.
I nearly had a panic attack flying back from London on a Ryanair flight. So fucking crowded.
Yeah.
But the internal Vietnamese flights aren't great either.
Yeah, I was joking about, like, you know, when you're in like a Vietnam or something and you're worried, you're used to being at home and you're like, is this bag the right size and is this whatever? And there's literally like a guy fucking...
Is this goose okay?
Yeah, someone's like barbecuing a fucking... sacrificing a chicken and fucking... Or someone will just have a bag, like a carrier bag filled with like herbs that they just fucking pulled.
The things that people bring on transport with them, they're hilarious. Like, you'll get on like a night bus, not that it'll do it anymore because they're a fucking death trap. If anybody's traveling to Vietnam and you think... take a night bus, don't. But say if we're walking, but there's always like some old lady and she's just got like a bag of fucking rambutans or mangosteens or just some fruit, and it's like, just need them for the trip. It's like old dolls around here. Like, there's so many parallels between Ireland and Vietnam that
it's an old doll bringing her sandwiches
that,
on
that you're just you're like too close to the wood to see the tree. What the fuck's that saying again?
Can't see the
can't see the kettle for all the black. I don't know.
What is it, the wood from the tree?
Can't see the trees for all the wood? I don't know, fuck. But like, you don't spot it because you grew up here, you know? And then you come back and be like, oh, isn't this funny that they'll...
The wood for the trees?
Can't see the wood. What does that mean?
What are you talking about? Can't see the wood for the...
Aye.
Fuck up, you old cryptic fucking...
But
dicks.
It's like, you know, bringing a flask and a couple of ham sandwiches along. Which isn't strange to us, but they're like, oh, here's your fruit in the bag.
They have a handful of fucking frog legs. The weirdest thing I ever seen was, well, I seen this in Vietnam. There was a woman just washing a giant sort of basin of dead frogs. And then there was a place in Vietnam, or sorry, in Thailand we went to, near in Patong Beach.
Mm.
You walk past this like open air sort of seafood market and the creatures that you would see.
Yeah.
Just and they had, you know, like all these basins with water flowing into them, just circulating. And I walked past and something like brushed my leg and I went, what was that? And it was like some fucking space creature I'd never seen before. I was like, what? Are people eating that shit?
Have you seen a mud skipper before? Google it.
This may well be what I was looking at.
You see them in like you see them by the riverbanks everywhere. They look like they listen to heavy metal all the time. Look at them.
Oh,
they're a fish with two front legs and a fucking mohawk. But they're considered a fish. But some people eat them. I've never eaten them. Maybe I have. I don't know.
How big are they?
Vietnamese word. About 6 inches long, maybe. Some of them are bigger, actually. But they just wreck around in the muck. They love it.
What was the fucking thing I seen? You know, it looks like a wood louse, but it's about the size of a rugby ball. And it fucking lives in the sea. That's what I seen in a fucking bowl of water that someone was supposed to eat.
Is it a shell?
Yeah.
Shell creature? Cuttlefish or something like that?
It's not a cuttle. No, a cuttlefish is like a squid, isn't it? Cuttlefish is fucking delish. I had a cuttlefish fritter.
Cuttlefish.
And I spelt that nearly right.
What is that shelled animal?
Are you trying? Is it killing your mind as well?
Yeah.
Honestly, Lee Garden in Belfast at the Dim Sum thing, you can get cuttlefish fritters with the chili vinegar, and it's fucking delicious.
Is this on Botanic Avenue?
Lee Garden, yeah.
No, oh, reading there.
Mate, it's good. But you have to go there with an actual Chinese person because they can navigate the menu.
I keep staring at that dildo.
Don't just stare at it. Eat it. Hold on. Let me see. I'm going to type in strange Asian seafood creatures of some...
Should we play the sound recording of Norwegian ones talking?
Oh yeah, Sean
wasn't,
has...
Wasn't that fucked up?
Sean has had a theory that... Let me see, Norwegian...
Shout out to any Norwegian listeners.
You'd be surprised at a Yemen one.
Don't go to that conversation. You want like a TV show.
Sean thinks that they have the exact same sort of tone and delivery.
Yeah.
Like they're from Northern Ireland, but
I
it's...
I do some stuff in Norwegian and that I speak in Norwegian. And I'm just going to...
Said it very well. It's like somebody from Tyrone being made to read German. This goes back a few years.
Så det er litt typ, da. Men ellers har faktisk hatt det veldig deilig. Jeg som vant til å ha vinter hvert år.
Is it like Norwegian TV show or something?
Norwegian.
This goes back a few years where I heard a pair of fellas having a conversation and being really scared that I was getting desperately ill because I couldn't understand a word. It's like in a crowded room, especially if you're like international, if there's a load of different nationalities in the room, you'll hear your own language very, very quickly.
What the fuck?
But I heard these fellas talking. And it was really bothering me that I couldn't understand what they were saying because it sounded exactly like us, but the words didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So Norwegian sounds like just like...
Let me see.
Let's
see.
Det er det jeg ikke har hørt, men det må dere ha. Men 3 år i Kina, Bjarte, altså hvordan var... Dagen din i fjellene mens du gikk hos Mester Zhong.
What the fuck?
Hverdagen min er sånn at dagen starter klokken 5 om morgenen.
Det er det.
I said them, you're playing center half back.
No, he sounds like he's from Cork, boy. Nei.
It's...
Da går jeg ut på en løpetur. Løper sånn 6-7 kilometer.
It does. It sounds like a guy. Like a big fucking dopey guy like that. Just, and you're like, read this German. He's like...
Do you want salt and vinegar in that?
You know what I mean?
Fortsett med Tai Chi. Noe lignende det dere så i sted.
It's weird as fucking.
It's like somebody from Belfast or fucking anywhere, Dungannon. Yeah, speaking German.
Wait a minute. Have a phone. I know a Norwegian guy. Actually, I think he's Norwegian. Let me just double check. I don't know, it's not in there.
But yeah, I heard these people talking and I swear to God I thought I was having a fucking stroke because it sounded exactly like us, but not a word was registering. Have you ever seen a video of somebody, there was a video years ago of some like newsreader who was really, really desperately tired or something.
And she had a stroke?
She kind of had like a mini stroke and she started making sounds, but then she realized that they weren't words. It was kind of the opposite of that. Whatever they were saying was going into my head as just noise and I was like, what the fuck's wrong with me? And then I spoke to them later and realized they were Norwegian.
Yeah, there's a guy, our boy Michael there. This guy here is Norwegian.
Ask him, is he any Straban blood in him?
He's a guy who fucking, he was overdoing like a year part of his course, you know. You know when people do like history and politics or some bullshit and they go, tell you where you'd like Belfast, huh? So he was over and he just went to jiu-jitsu as something to do. And then is fucking lethal now, whatever amount of years that is, probably like three or four, well it's probably a good few years now, but beast, absolute based.
I wonder what Norway is like.
Probably expensive, but nice, I'd say.
I don't think there's any shit country. There's shit regimes and shit places, but every country's bound to have
it's good
something that's class.
Yeah.
Well, if people here are going to, is it Slovenia now? That old Slovenia country. People are going there. It's like, but there's,
if there's cheap air.
It's kind of like travel agents must be holding them in reserve. It's like, Prague was good, wasn't it? And we'll use that for 10 years. And then we'll go, have you heard of Warsaw or Krakow?
Oh, yeah.
And then well, they send you there and they just choose a new city and move further east.
All it needs, I swear to God, all it needs is like a lad Bible. You know, like, why would you ever visit Slovenia? And it's like, dink, you get the fucking vlog music going. Yeah. And then it's like a highlight reel of people jumping in the sea and drone footage.
Yeah.
Drone footage has made places a lot more appealing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've done that yourself where you're like, you know, you go to a place and you've seen it in a million things and then you're there and you're like, well, this is it. Giant's Causeway is the worst for that. Like, where you're like, well, there we go. Bunch of fucking stones.
If you want Giant's Causeway to be good, like, walk up around the hills near it. It's the area's class, but the hill, like, the causeway itself is very, very average. Like, it was the same when we went to Silent Valley there the whole week. The drive up was fucking gorgeous. Yeah. But then you get there and it's like, well, what do you expect now? It's a big load of water that was gone last week.
Let me just see if I still have this video. Where the fuck would I find that? Complete. Yeah. Phil Bailey, who is a drone photographer.
This causeway?
Yeah. I was like, do you have any footage? Now, it's a shame audio listeners can't see this. But like,
can the people watching see this?
In fact, I wasn't even really allowed to have this footage. Because I was like, do you have any stock footage? And he goes, it was shot for another thing. Look at that. That's impressive.
Aye, because it's over the water.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're actually there, you're just like, well, what the fuck? And you have to go on a very, like, that's obviously like the evening, I would say.
There's a Giant's Causeway in Vietnam.
Is there?
They're not that rare.
Oh, that sort like of stone
the
formation?
Sort of stone formation.
No.
And like, it's not even, nobody knows about it. I found out about it about a year ago.
How would I, let me see, Vietnamese.
The Giant's Causeway, maybe. See if something comes up. Well, but no, it's that same.
Would it be like stone?
I think just write Giant's Causeway and it'll come up. I think there'll be like some SEO hit. Because somebody might have written about it in the past year and be like, oh, there's a Giant's Causeway in Vietnam.
Let me see. That's obviously it there. Similar sort of fucking shit.
Yeah.
Gandadia.
But it's in a sort of a, somewhere up the coast in Vietnam where like, it's not close to anywhere really. There's a lot of beautiful coastline up there, but there's not enough there to attract loads of Westerners to go.
Now, what the fuck is that? That's like Inception. That's even more impressive.
It's like Giant's Causeway in a donut.
Sure, yeah. Just these stone formations aren't that fucking rare, seemingly.
Well, there's at least two of them.
Yeah.
And probably more. Dadia Rockcliffe, Fujian province. That's near Nha Trang.
Have you seen the documentary on Netflix, the Ken Burns one?
Yeah.
The Vietnam War?
Yeah.
Do you watch it all?
No, it's really long.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get into it at the minute.
It's very good, though.
It's fucking, well, in depth.
There's a lot of stuff with that whole war that people don't know about.
Yeah.
Like, for example, it was a civil war. People don't, like, it was North v. South.
Yeah.
That's the simplest thing that people don't really remember.
Yeah.
Do
people still hate each other within Vietnam?
No, but there is rivalry.
Or were they just like, sorry, we started that?
There is, well, like, anybody who was sort of opposed to the communist regime got fucked in a correction camp for a couple of years. And now it's like everybody's on the DL now.
Yeah.
So people still have their beliefs, but they can't really air them. Like, I like to boast about this. I've been censored before for stories in the paper. Wasn't quite censored, but was told, can't write this because I've mentioned something.
You bad wee rip.
Mm.
You fucking savage.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wrap this up because I need a piss and we're starving. Do you have all your stuff collected somewhere? All your writings?
No.
Well, start a bloody blog. Do you have a blog?
I do have a blog, but there's four things on it and none of them are any good. If you want to read some shite, go to Sean Campbell 39. I think it's medium.com. Or, I don't know. I don't have anything worth while. Just a wee commercial sellout writer slash English teacher.
You need to put them all together somewhere.
I think I do have like a clippings something with a few bits and pieces on it, but it's not the sort of thing that anybody would be madly interested in. I did that thing for Belfast Live for a few months, which was like expat abroad kind of thing. So maybe if you write Sean Campbell Belfast Live, you'll find something. I wrote something about
some nudes.
Counterculture shock.
What's
the
that?
The strangeness of coming home. Like people ask you like how weird it is going away. It's like it's 10 times weirder coming home for the first or second time.
Yeah.
Coming back into what you think you know. What you think you know.
I hate going backwards in my life. I hate revisiting things. I hate...
I'm a sentimentalist. I love doing that sort of shit.
Apply but forward with a wake of fucking yeah. just shit.
I don't know. It's more like coming home and never having realized quite how fucking quiet it is.
Oh, it's quiet as shit. Like, well, if you're coming from fucking
yeah.
Ho Chi Minh City.
Or something as simple as... This was the most off-putting thing, actually. Well, it was the sound of silence. And then everybody speaking English. It was a fucking nightmare. Because you got used to the noise of Vietnamese. And Vietnamese, when I first moved there, was no offense at all. That I love the sound of it now, but it's a harsh tonal language. And when you first hear it,
it sounds
like
you're being shouted at by everyone.
Yeah. It takes a lot to get used to. Yeah. And if somebody kicks off, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, it gets you. And then you get used to that. And the sort of English kind of floats over the noise.
Yeah.
And then you get back to the airport.
Everyone's here, talking shit.
And you can hear somebody half a mile away talking about fucking sausages.
Yeah.
Like there's no background noise. It's just all words that you recognize. I remember. Sorry, coming home's weird. Move abroad, lads, but.
There's a wee girl sitting outside a shop. Last time we were, I just walked past. And she was the exact equivalent of like a girl working at a fucking phone case stall in like Rushmere shopping centre and just being like, and then I say to him, he's coming fucking around, it's fucking bastard to fucking steal all my stuff and all. You know, like that's what she was doing, but in fucking like Vietnamese, just long like just brrr, a million mile an hour, like it's fucking bastard, like, just so he fucking
yeah.
And the complete opposite, because the girl in Rushmere's fake tan to the dick, and then this girl's, you know, got the mastos on her face to try and...
She's got every inch of her covered.
Yeah, try and make herself look paler.
It's weird though, isn't it? Not to open up a new whole new kettle of fish here, but...
whole new box of biscuits.
Whole new can of dogs. but there's what do you call him? He's been in the news recently for talking about the burqa. Al-Bazi Johnson said something about...
Oh yeah, they look like letterboxes.
And there is something like kind of intimidating about people not showing their faces.
100%.
But, and I was like, ah, oh, that's fair enough to have that sort of prejudice in you. But then in Vietnam, nobody gets scared by the fact that all of the women, when they're on motorbikes or scooters,
look like
are
ninjas,
covered
yeah.
from head to toe. And the only, you can't even see their eyes because they wear big sunglasses. So it's like face mask, hood, big sunglasses, every bit of them covered because God forbid the sun will shine on them. Nobody gets annoyed about that. Food for thought, lads. Mm. I was all racist without knowing it. Follow me on Instagram, Sean Campbell 39.
See some nice photos.
I'm trying to become an influencer.
I'm trying to influence you to become an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Come to Vietnam. Take some lovely photographs of like walls.
Love a good wall, don't you?
If you like bricks.
I love a good bit of texture.
Uh-huh.
What does it say?
Love a shadow. And come to Vietnam. And if you come to Vietnam, give me a shout. That was weird last week. That was weird as fuck last week when those fellas knew who I was.
I know. When Sean was at the gig in fucking... in Mandela, and everyone was like, is that Sean?
But I think maybe Maureen or Begley said they're Sean too. You know? Maybe. I don't know. But there was these like super fans. Fair play to them.
Begley gets a bit of a tune. Begley will be like, ah, fucking stop it now. And then just
start singing.
Straight into the photograph. Loving it.
Yeah. Speaking of superfans, shout out to Ronan McGuire, cousin of my own, who's a big superfan. Don't know why the fuck he's allowed to watch your stuff.
What is he? See, I just blended all in. What age is he?
He's a cub. he's 16 maybe. A fan for a while.
16's alright. I had a fucking... Where the fuck were we? Dunelm. Yeah, bro. Buying fucking...
What?
It's a homeware shop. And this woman comes up to me, he loves your stuff, can he get a wee photo with you? And she thrusts this fucking...
Takes him out of the prom.
Like a 5-year-old towards me. And I'm like, are you sure it's not you that's maybe seen yeah. some videos? And you're trying to, and this wee kid was just bewildered, just like, huh? And I'm standing like, getting a photo with this kid. He loves your videos. See all that, that fucking,
fighting stuff.
I'll rape your corpse, you bastard. He loves it. Anyway, I'm going to piss my actual pants here.
I need to piss too.
Thanks very much, Sean, for joining me on the podcast.
Pleasure.
I'm going to come visit because you're going to be all by yourself and...
I'm going to be in Saigon for now 7 months. We didn't even talk about that. Moving to South Africa next year.
Moving to South Africa. Oh,
it's none of your fucking business.
I can't wait because, as I've said before, I like to have international friends and you're it. You're the yeah. international friend.
I was the guy who never wanted to leave.
Yeah.
I didn't want to fucking go anywhere. We Irish speaker loved Ireland and then it's like, job? Nah, fuck. And then go to Vietnam and now it's like, I can't come home. I don't know how to do home.
My dream, my goal is to be able to work remotely. So through the podcast and through like merch and through maybe gigs and stuff like that, I just want to be able to go, like say Aaron's in LA, just go, Aaron, I got a fucking Airbnb yeah. for a month. I'll just go, I'll come over because the podcast makes money on the internet.
It's good and it's bad. I teach English full time, but I get ridiculously good holidays. So I've been on holiday for about the past month, but I also work as a freelance writer. So I do work remotely. Like the last time I was home, I had a lot of work to do. So it's good that I can earn money when I'm in a different country.
Yeah.
The bad part is that you have to work when you're on holiday. This yeah. has been fucking fantastic because I haven't had to do anything. I finished, yeah. I like wrote a story on a 12-hour flight.
That's
just
great,
to get it done.
That's great.
Well, it was like uber productive. I was like, what the fuck? You'd never do this. You hate flying that much.
Believe it or not, unless you can, you're one of those people that can just fucking pass out on a flight and wake up like 12 hours later. It's way better to have a task.
That was the first time I've had something that I really needed to do. It was pressing. I was like, that needed done. And I got it done, which is fucking great. But then the flip side is that had I not got it done, I would have spent holidays working. So it's getting that balance. Like a lot of people who say they travel for a living and they work while they're doing it, it's not that great all the time because there's always a wee bit of work yeah. that needs done.
I mean, I've heard of people, like a lot of vloggy type guys, deliberately get trains instead of driving.
Yeah.
Because
you can
work while you're moving.
That's what I did there a couple of months ago. I was working on a travel guide. You know them wee books that you buy for countries? Don't buy the one that I helped to write. I won't give the...
There's 9 places where you can buy pork and rice.
Just a guide to pork and rice. But was working on that and also editing for another company. So I planned, and I had to travel for the job. Like I had to go up the coast and go to all these places and, you know, actually visit them before I wrote about them. Can you imagine? But did that, like booked buses and trains just so I could use that 5 hours and put it to use.
Yeah.
And get... Growing up...
5 hours on a bus. I know Maureen's friends... Anna and Nathan, they got a 48-hour bus or 48-hour train in China.
Jesus.
And she got on it and she was like, I don't know why I thought it was like a cabin. It was a seat. And
oh,
it was
Jesus
packed wept. And they just sat in the fucking chair. Yeah. And she goes, you couldn't even like really get up, move around because it was so tight. You were just in this. I'd have got off. I'd have been like, fuck that.
We did a 28-hour bus into Laos, a couple of years ago. And to this day, it's one of the only things. I'm like, that's a day out of my life.
Yeah.
Why didn't we just... It's really... For some reason, it's really expensive to fly from Vietnam to its direct neighbors. And it was like fucking 30 quid for the bus or something. It was going to be 300 to fly.
Can you ride a bike across the border?
It would have took forever. We didn't have the time. It would have... Like, it was a long, long journey. To a couple of thousand kilometers.
Jesus
whatever.
Christ.
But yeah, that
was
one
really dear to fly to the next fucking country.
It's really dear to fly. Like, it would cost about £100 to fly to the Cambodian capital, which you can get a bus to for like $15. Tenner.
Fuck.
That's like a 10-hour bus. Right, we've bored these people enough.
I'd still pay it. Right. See you next time.
Good luck.
Follow Sean Cam. Was it Sean Campbell 39?
Mm.
What's 39 come from? Or is it
it's just a number that I've started using for sports and stuff. Where I want to play football.
Swag.
Craig Bellamy. Pure scumbag, but I like his number.
There we go.
39.
Follow Sean on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram.
Sean Campbell wasn't free.
Oh, was it not?
That just a
piece of shit.
Can you believe that's a common name?
Yeah.
It's about as normal a fucking...
There's probably someone listening to this podcast right now called Sean Campbell.
That's the same name as my name.
That's the same name as mine. Then listens to it for 2 seconds. I don't like this. Right, we're out of here. See you later.
Good luck now. Good luck and fuck you.
Good luck and fuck you indeed.